Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John. John engineering and producing our show, and together a hearty welcome on this Monday, June 6, 2022, noting the 78th anniversary of the Normandy invasion, the greatest generation. There's just so few of these men and women around, and my friend Ben Bueller Garcia with his program on Saturday, American Warrior Radio featured a 100-year-old vet who took part in the Normandy invasion. He still sounded pretty darn sharp. John was engineering that show, and I think John's agreeing with me that this vet really, who was here in studio, sounded great, but there's just too few of these men and women around, and we certainly honor them. 78 years. Well, speaking of time, it does fly. We're in our 12th year here with the radio show and our 34th year for the TV and radio in Tucson. Our program broadcasts from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. And when we have our telephone interviews, which we will have at 12:30, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off is presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Anything in the way of framing, art for your walls, this is the place to go. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe and his family have been specializing in custom frame mirrors. We've got a couple of them at our home, beautiful bathroom mirrors. They've got some beautiful art. Mo is a outstanding photographer. A lot of his art is available for sale at the shop. And of course, picture framing. And if you don't want to hang your items after Mo frames them, Mo will come out to your house and make sure everything is done properly. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Our team of commentators with us today, Shelley Keiss, back with us, one-time congressional candidate, current chairwoman of the Pima County Republican Party and Continental School District Board member. Shelley, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill. How are you? Welcome back.
Thank you very much. We had a wonderful trip and 50th anniversary trip. Bonnie Heidler with us. Bonnie, chair of the Democratic Party of Pima County. Bonnie, we decided we would go someplace that would kind of be like about 50, and that would be the 50th state, Hawaii. And boy, I'll tell you, we had a great view from our hotel room of Waikiki Beach. You could actually hear the waves breaking on Waikiki. You have to kind of really research it, Shelley and Bonnie, to get a really good view where you don't have a lot of the other hotels in your sight. But our view there at the Sheraton Waikiki, if folks are looking for a place where you can get a great view, ask for the Diamond Head view, and then you will be assured of getting it. So anyway, very relaxing. I'm still kind of chilled out, which is good. Brought a little back of that chilled spirit. Hey, Bonnie, I noticed in your weekly e-tracks, that's your electronic tracks that you put out as chair, you talked about loss of freedoms. Actually, I meant to say Shelley. See, I'm a little too chilled there, Shelley. But you talk about loss of freedoms, and reflecting on D-Day, a lot of those men and women who lost their lives were all about protecting these freedoms that we have in America.
That's exactly right. And so it was a perfect time to talk about the importance of freedom. I also mentioned in the e-tracks this morning about Top Gun and the patriotism and the fight for freedom,
right,
that you see in that movie. I don't want to give it away, but
everybody says it's great.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
How does it differ from the original? What What kind of made it stand out for you that was so different?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Tom Cruise doesn't look any different.
Wow.
I'm trying to figure out how he did that.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, it's it really doesn't differ all that much, but it does bring it into today. So, for example, some of the Top Guns are females.
Yeah.
It's definitely a more diverse cast. But the issue is pretty real. But the key was they were fighting for freedom, just like the men and women who stormed the beaches were fighting for freedom, and just like many of us are still fighting for our freedoms here every day in Arizona, in the United States.
We have so many issues, Bonnie, that are dividing this country. The way we should perhaps approach what we should do about guns. There's got to be common ground out there, Bonnie, somewhere.
I wish there was common ground.
Is there? Maybe there is.
I mean, you know, just the rash of killings that have happened in the last month. And my own personal experience 46 years ago, nothing's changed.
What happened 46 years ago? You've never shared that. Bring it up, so I've got to ask. I mean, what was it? What happened?
Well, I was working for the LA Free Clinic for the executive director.
Okay.
And he had been gone for a month, and he came back. He was in my office, like an office like this, where mm-hmm. somebody came in the door.
Mm-hmm.
He was standing next to me, and they said, "Give me the money," with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
He went to reach in his pocket to get the money. He wasn't going to give the clinic money, and he was shot.
Mm.
The guy and I went out the same door.
Right in front of you?
In front of me.
Whoa.
I'm lucky here to be telling the story.
Did he survive?
No, he did not survive.
Mm.
But nothing's changed. You know, from my perspective, nothing has changed. I'm not sure why you need an AR-15 to go hunt Bambi. That's only used for hunting humans. And unfortunately, that's what's been happening.
Shelley, where is the common ground on this?
Well, the common ground is that someone who walks in with a gun and shoots someone at point blank is mentally disturbed. And so the common ground is, if we go back and start with, let's have a discussion about what are the root causes of this. I think that's where we start. But what I've seen, and it's on both sides of the aisle, I've seen a lot of kabuki theater sound bites, and that's not going to solve
the problem. Going on, you know, I've been in this business over 50 years, probably 55 years, and nothing seems to have changed when it comes. We have a lot of talk, but very little action.
Well, and truthfully, the Democrats have brought many bills, different forms, different ways. And unfortunately, their Republican colleagues cannot seem to come to any agreement or vote on any of the bills that have been passed. You know, in 2004, they allowed the AR-15, AK-47s to expire and wouldn't allow it to be extended. So, you know, it is on both sides. We have to come to some agreement and some common ground, and they seem to have some, with some common sense laws, you know, universal background checks, some red flag laws. There are some things that we can come together on, but that doesn't change being able for an 18-year-old to get an AR-15 and go murder people, 19 children.
Well, you know what? The issue isn't that the 18-year-old had an AR-15. The issue is that the 18-year-old had a mental illness that was known by his family, by his friends, by his school colleagues, by the teachers in the school. So the issue, again, I'm always going to go to the root cause. You can keep piling on law after law, but someone who has a mental illness and is just hell-bent on killing is going to find a way to kill. So that's where the issue is, and whether you look at the senseless murders that have taken place in our grocery stores, our churches, our schools, regardless of where they've taken place. We always go back to that one root cause, and that is a mental illness or a drug-related illness. And that is an issue that we are not addressing in America. Our borders are open. Drugs are flowing across the border. We're seeing more and more mental illness. We see people right here, the homelessness in the streets. Go look and read about what's going on in Portland, Maine right now, up in Wells, Maine, about how they are having so many burglaries and robberies. And this is about drugs and mental illness. And until we get a handle on that, we can keep slapping laws and keep coming together, but it's not gonna make any difference.
And so a way to get a handle on mental illness is to put some money into it. As we might recall, under Ronald Reagan, we let a lot of people out, which created a whole huge homeless issue. Money has to be put into it. Where is that money going to come from? Certainly, if the Democrats put forward a bill, which we have put forward some bills, the Republicans will not pass those. So how do we get there?
We stop saying Republican and Democrat.
And, you know, I was just reflecting, even on our trip over in Honolulu, you wouldn't think there'd be a homeless a problem over there, but we saw a lot of homeless people. It was very, very sad, who were camped out under the bridges on the freeway. Yes, there is a freeway, a big one, in Honolulu, and it seems like under every underpass there were a lot of homeless people, and in the park. So this is just, you know, you can go to paradise, but that the issues are certainly going to follow you wherever you go when it comes to homelessness. Let's talk about early voting after we take our break right now, but both Bonnie and Shelley, I think, will agree with me on this. We always have common ground here on the Buckmaster Show. You know what I want to talk about, Shelley.
Yes, I do.
And Bonnie, you know it's about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. We were up and enjoyed a beautiful breakfast yesterday up at Mona's, and they do take Mondays off now, and deservedly so. They've been very busy, and so they now take a day off. So they're open for breakfast Tuesday through Sunday, open at 6:30, and when lunchtime comes around, if you still want to do breakfast, that's not a problem. They've got a great lunch menu as well. They're located the northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. We'll be back with Shelley and Bonnie right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority Board promised to fund projects from its 20-year regional transportation plan to the ballot amount. A recent state audit confirms the RTA is meeting its obligations. The RTA is now working with member jurisdictions to identify non-RTA funds to cover recent spikes in construction costs. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com to learn more about funding obligations.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Check out Moe for all of your framing needs. They can certainly take care of you. Also, they've got a very handsome and very efficient website with a lot of goodies that they're selling at moesgallery.com. And their address, they are right next to Copenhagen. So Copenhagen's not a sponsor, so sometimes I don't say Copenhagen, but they're getting a free plug because Mo is right next door, and Mo has a great relationship with Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Shelley Kice is with us, Republican chairwoman of the local GOP party here in Pima County, and Barney Heidler is the chairwoman of the Democratic Party of Pima County. Bonnie, this is kind of a hectic time, isn't it, right before the primary?
Right before the primary is always a hectic time. Everybody's getting ready to get out and vote.
What are folks doing to gear up?
Well, they're gearing up to go out, talk to voters, get them ready to go out and vote. Primary is around the corner, so we're gearing up for it.
How's it looking to you, Shelley?
I think it's looking really good. Obviously, the Republicans have a real advantage right now, and so it's looking really good. And what we're doing is we're gearing up. We're training our poll observers. We want to have 1,000 people observing at the polls. We know we've already seen a huge problem with a 14% failure rate by our county recorder in mailing out the voter ID cards. So if that's in any precursor indicator of what's to come, we're in big trouble this election season.
What was the 14%? I didn't hear about this.
So 614,000 voter ID cards were sent out. 84,000 of them were incorrect. So instead of it saying Oro Valley, Arizona, it said Tucson, Arizona. And then we had some changes in supervisor districts, and that was also incorrect. So 84,000 of the cards were wrong. Admittedly, the recorder said that she knew it was possibly wrong. It's 13.6%. So it's a 13.6% failure rate by the recorder. Admittedly, the recorder said that she knew there would probably be some problems. And however, she said she has contingencies in her budget, but her budget isn't her budget. Her budget is the taxpayers of Pima County. And so you never, a business would never survive with the statement that we're going to manufacture this. We'll probably get it wrong 14 14 out of every 100 times, but once we get it right for you, you'll be good.
You know, I know there's a learning curve because the new recorder, still relatively new, we had FN Rodriguez, did such a great job, Bonnie, for about 25 years. But still, that's a big mistake.
Well, in terms of a learning curve, we also had a redistricting, which occurred, which is a big change. And it occurs every 10 years. And you'd think it would be nice if there was like a book you could pull down and say, okay, this is what I do. And no, you got to kind of reinvent the wheel. So there could be mistakes because lines did change for supervisors. And, you know, that's part of the process sometimes. It's not great, and I agree with Shelley in that, you know, you don't want to make a mistake, but it's all a new process when it's every 10 years. It's like starting over.
Shelley, what's the deal here with the Arizona Republican, the state party? This is not your group in Pima County going after early voting. This lawsuit, there should be a decision, by the way, today. The state Republican Party is going after early vote, wanting to end early voting in Arizona. What's your take on this?
Well, there are a great number of people in Arizona, as a matter of fact, across the nation, that want to see one day, one vote. And so one day, one ballot, one vote. That's it. And of course, there would always be exceptions for people who were going to be traveling, who were hospitalized, maybe going in for surgery on election day, things like that. There would always be exceptions for that. But they want to get away from this 1 month or 6 weeks of voting that we have. And, you know, just by the fact that I just pointed out that the recorder had a 14% failure rate, and we have a brand new elections director who had who in 2020 from her previous location had a series of issues, and we're doing a crossover to a whole new system.
It's next door for folks that they can't hear it. These mics are so directional. Thank goodness. There's a little bit of a jackhammer issue going on.
Okay.
Our neighbors are doing, I'm not sure what they're doing, remodeling or digging a trench or something.
Okay.
But the good news is that these mics are so directional that our friends at home are not hearing what we're hearing.
Okay. So
there you go, Shelley.
All right, thanks.
Go,
I feel better.
No.
So I think that people are really concerned about election integrity, and I think it's a very big issue, and I think we need to be concerned. So this is nationwide. This isn't just the Arizona Republican Party. We see a lot of people across the country that are pushing for
a one day one vote.
Yes, and to get away from the mail out voting. So again, I want everybody to keep in mind that we just had a 14% failure in the voter ID cards. So imagine if we had a 14% failure in mail-out ballots. Now, we have one candidate that I've actually seen speak, and he shows up and he brings the three ballots that he received in 2020. He brings them. He brings them with him and says, I've received these three ballots, and plus I voted another one.
For his show and tell, he brings them.
That's right, and it's a very effective show and tell.
Well, Bonnie, early voting is so popular here.
Yeah, and what I don't understand is why for decades there has been early voting, and all of a sudden there's a problem. It hasn't been proven that there's been a problem. It hasn't been proven that there's widespread voter fraud. None of these things have been proven. In fact, when we talk about the 2020 election, it was one of the most secure elections that they ever had. But now elections are in question, because things are being changed. Too many things are being changed in terms of voter suppression, not in terms of, you know, people being able to go in and vote, but people not being able to go in and vote.
Who can't vote?
Well, it's being made harder and harder for people who may not be able to get one day to be able to go and vote. If you take that away from them, if they work and they aren't able to get there, they won't be able to cast their voice. and have their voice heard. And that's why early voting and even the vote centers to be where people maybe work versus where they live so that they can go on their lunch hour if they need to vote.
People do like the convenience, Shelley.
I agree, but the average age in Arizona is 72. And what we're going to see is that most of the people who vote in Arizona are over the age of 65. So putting it next to the place where they work, those people aren't working. I know that the vote center that's going to be near where I'm going to have to go is going to require about an eight mile drive. The parking is going to be inadequate, and I personally think it's going to be an issue. So we'll see. But again, we need to remember that we're not trying to suppress any vote. We're trying to improve our voting. And to act like we're trying to suppress votes, I think, is just disingenuous. We're not trying to suppress any vote. It is hard to go vote when you work. I remember I worked. I remember standing in line afterwards with kids hanging on me. Is it time to go yet? Can we go yet? I mean, of course. But we can address that as well.
Did you say the average age of voting in Arizona is what age?
The average age of people. I was just looking at this on 72.
I have never heard that before.
It's much younger.
And again, as I often say on this program, and John's heard me say it a million times, the only reason I'm doing this show is to learn at least one new fact every show, and I just learned it from you, Shelley.
So go to thecensus.com. I'll send you the link. There's an interactive. You can look at all the states and you can look at average age, median income, all the demographics that are so important for us to understand when we're building systems like we're building.
I had no idea. All right, Bonnie and Shelley, stay safe out there. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Coming up next, Keith Rosenblum will talk a little bit about this Summit of the Americas and why the president of Mexico decided today he's not going. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Some of my plants are looking so stressed in the garden. Well, of course, look at the climate we've had here. Look at the weather, virtually no rain all year. This would be a great time to go buy Green Things, get something fresh for the garden, and the people over there will steer you in the right direction. And they will tell you what will do well once the rain comes to get us to that, hopefully, that period. Fingers crossed, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. I hope it's not into July, but we are keeping our fingers crossed for an early monsoon. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. The 13-acre site, now home to Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. The website's Green Things AZ and ZocaloVillage.com. Let's welcome now for our monthly border report, longtime border reporter, Keith Rosenblum. Keith, how are you?
Keith, doing very well and distressed about your plants that are distressed as well.
Hey, if you were a plant right now in the Buckmaster garden and you are getting sometimes twice a day watering and you're still struggling, I mean, who could blame the little things? It's been hot out there. It's going to get hotter. But anyway, the hot news is about the Mexican president saying he will pass on the Summit of the Americas, which begins tomorrow in Los Angeles, runs for 4 days. This is big news. What was the final reasoning there that the president of Mexico said, I'm not coming?
He's been threatening to not come for months now, as he was told that the United States would not be inviting Cuba, Venezuela, I can't remember where else, and Lopez Obrador, because he's the president of the largest country in Latin America, population-wise. Actually, I don't know the size of Brazil, actually, but 125 million people is substantial, and it's bigger than the countries in South and Central America. And so the president of Mexico has a kind of a moral position, a more leadership role for Latin America. A lot of times Latin America, what goes in Mexico represents what the rest of the continent is thinking. And so he's been threatening not to attend now for the last couple of months. And I got to see him again today. Today he was angry. It was a lot of fun to watch him angry too. And he said that the reason he's going to send Secretary Ebrard or Chancellor Ebrard, who's actually twice the intellectual heft of Lopez Obrador anyway. So to think somehow that Mexico is not going to be represented is bogus. It's all symbolic. But what he is saying is, and actually Keith hasn't yet decided where he comes down in this, but I think I agree with López Obrador on this one. In other words, the United States has decided not to invite what we consider to be non-democratic countries. We've got our invitation. It's going to be in L.A. And the fun part would have been to see the president fly to Tijuana, cross over, and take public transportation from Tijuana on up to L.A. Because that's what he does. He really does set the example when it comes to austerity and to the opposite of the pomp of the previous Mexican administrations. Anyway, he'll send Secretary Ebrard, who's a brilliant man and very well versed in the world and foreign affairs, more so than the president himself. So to think somehow that Mexico is not going to be apprised or be aware of everything that's going on, that's not the case. Ebrard is fabulous. López Obrador's absence is symbolic. And what he's saying is to the United States, do you really need to be the arbiter of everything? Are you able just to suck it up and invite people from countries where that may not have the democratic governments that you want to have, but still invite them? Just bring them to the ball.
Right, anyhow. Right.
And he made it a point. He made it his principal point, and I think it's a good one. I actually would have liked, I think that by engaging people, you win them over. I don't think that he would have given a lot of credibility. He would have, maybe for Nicolás Maduro in Venezuela. That's a tougher call. But insofar as, the reality is that these countries are run by strongmen. They don't have the democracy that we'd like them to have. They have nor does China for that matter, but we still got to talk to them. So I think it's a tactical error on our part. And also they had, of course, López Obrador spends all of his time talking about how no one should intervene in Mexico's affairs, but that doesn't keep him from berating Senator Menendez from where's he from? Florida, I think, who's a Democrat and who's Cuban. And because of his Cuban ties, is going to make sure that we don't invite Cuba to the gathering. So López Obrador doesn't lose that opportunity to meddle or to address what he considers to be hypocrisy in U.S. affairs or wrongs. He's also going to make the case for how many of the Mexicans, the 40 million Mexicans, while there's 4 million Cubans, there's 40 million people of Mexican ancestry in the U.S. And he's saying, hey, they should be, get their residency or their citizenship, things that have a Mexican president has no business opining about. And he does it anyway. So I'm not clear whether no one's ever brought to his attention the hypocrisy, or he just figures people are naive enough that they don't even pay attention. But I think it's the wrong call. I think you should invite people, talk to them. That actually might help foment the change of powers in those countries. And anyway, when you're talking about regional blocks, I think you want to include people regardless of what their government is. I think we made a tactical mistake on this one. I understand it from both standpoints, but the president has said basically the relations with the U.S. are still wonderful. There's nothing anti-U.S. about this. There's something very anti-Republican, if pro-Biden, him saying we feel as if you're making the wrong call. And I, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, as the representative of 125 million people in Mexico, and ergo the representative of lots of other people in Latin America, am saying you're making the wrong call and I'm protesting by not going.
I agree with you 100%. What's wrong with inviting everybody? What's wrong with inviting Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela? Everybody, you're all welcome. Let's hear what you've got to say.
This is the point where Bill and Keith...
We agree, man. I really agree with you.
It's rare, so if we have agreement, my hunch is that that's reality. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, I've got one story in front of me that says at the summit in Quebec City in 2001, the delegates declared that any break with democratic order is a, quote, insurmountable obstacle to future participation in the summit process. And this apparently is what is being used as the why Joe Biden is saying that they are excluding these countries. But I think it's a mistake.
Yeah. I mean, bring them to the table. There's so many other issues, too. So many issues. While Asia while Europe, while the other continents are understanding the importance of the blocks and of having efficiencies. You know, we need to understand everything that's going on in Paraguay or Uruguay or Nicaragua or Guatemala. And so we're not necessarily endorsing them, but they're there to be heard. And you know what? We may nudge them toward the type of democracy that we enjoy here. And I have to say, while I'm saying that, I have to say that that our democracy fails us in lots of ways as well. So, you know, when you see the gridlock in American government, you see all sorts of things that are bizarre in our governmental structure. When you look at the Electoral College, this is not a Keith Rosenblum decrying of U.S. democracy, but it's saying, you know what? We're not quite at that point where we really get to lecture everybody else.
You said the president of Mexico is quite angry today. And what was that angry? What was that directed
at? He wanted to come. He wanted to come to the U.S. Because he's been making this was for him a cause célèbre. He's been trying to coax the United States into inviting everybody.
Yeah.
And this has been going on now for about 6 weeks, I think. And he's been rhapsodizing about it, and he's made himself, which he does very well. That's what messianic figures tend to do, Bill. He's made himself into the carrier or the de facto leader of Latin America. Whether it was his to take or not, that's, you know, he took it. And he says it's wrong for anybody in South or Central America to be excluded. And he kept thinking that his charm or his messianic abilities or whatever eventually would kind of bludgeon the U.S. into seeing the world his way. He could have been a hero. He would have been, to the rest of Latin America, look what our guy did. You know, he pushed, he told the United States, here's what you have to do, and they actually did it. So he did not achieve his goal, and he doesn't look worse for the failure, I don't think. It was kind of an uphill battle anyway, but he was not able to persuade the U.S. to see the world his way. And so therefore, he could have been worse, you know. Look what we did with the Olympics. What did we do, a diplomatic boycott? So we allowed our athletes to play, but
right,
we didn't send governmental people. Kind of a goofy strategy while Vladimir Putin is hanging out with Xi Jinping, you know. But be that as it may, he's not boycotting the event. He's boycotting he's removing himself,
right,
from the presence. But insofar as the goings on at the event itself, Mexico is more than well represented by Secretary Ebrard. He's just a superb player, and as I say, probably twice the competence in foreign affairs than the president.
All right, before we take the break, just one more thought on that. I just think we have missed a golden opportunity, and so much of the news focus has been all about, and in many ways, rightly so, about China and Asia and the war in Europe. We do not have enough focus in the United States on the Americas. And by inviting everybody to the summit, maybe it would have, the news cycle would have not just been about who got snubbed or that. We would have actually talked about some issues that are so important to the Americas. That's what I think.
I concur, Bill. I think you nailed it.
All right. We'll take a break right here. More with Keith Rosenblum right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive over to an area that we can honestly say is 10 degrees cooler. The high temperature because of the elevation in Silver City. So you take Tucson hitting 109 or 110 over the weekend, it's going to be a lot cooler. Like right now over in Silver City, it's 87. So it is cooler there, and you can find out about what to do, and there are lots of outdoor activities. And where to stay? Great places to stay by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Keith Rosenblum with us on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Keith, not only the story about the Summit of the Americas is making quite a bit of news, but the story about what is being billed as the largest immigrant caravan yet. Up to 5,000 migrants, mostly from Central America, Venezuela, and Haiti, have set off from southern Mexico.
Whoa! Well, that's I'm not aware of it, and I don't know what you do in 5,000 people. It's like 5,000 people is a Main Street parade, actually, in the United States. So that doesn't exactly. We're not talking about Tiananmen Square.
Yeah.
So I'm not 5,000 people is what a it's not even what a good sized crowd is at a Texas football game.
Yeah.
So I'm not much alarmed by that. I do want to call to your attention on something that actually there are two little nuggets here that are important to pass along, and or at least one that I meant to mention, that is that there was actually a bunch of fatalities at Guaymas from not Americans but. From people that were out on a boat in Guaymas following a quinceañera.
What?
I was reading this in the Mexico City Press. Yeah, there were 20 people that went on a boat following a quinceañera near Guaymas, and their boat sank. And there were at least 8 or 10 fatalities. I just saw the story in the Mexican Press. It's one of those funny those things that it just shows you how crazy the world is, that we could be sitting here in Tucson.
Yeah.
If this had happened anywhere in the U.S., we'd know about it already. But here's an example of what a gulf in communication can be, because, you know, who doesn't know about Guaymas? I have neighbors that are from Guaymas and Empalme, you know, where it took place. So anyway, the For What It's Worth department, the, probably the Star or probably NPR will pick the story up later, but it was at least something that, bears mention.
Yeah.
The other thing was that there was a gathering in Nogales, Mexico, I think about 2 or 3 weeks ago, to actually discuss moving the rail from through the city of Nogales and the one that comes up, you know, into Tucson. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's worth noting that these things take place because they take place a lot of times outside of public view. And the rail is has divided as it divides El Paso and as it divides San Diego and I don't know about San Diego and Tijuana, but I do know about Nogales and Ciudad Juarez and El Paso. Anyway, this is one of those things that's been brought up for decades and decades in Nogales, and it is depending on how you look at it, it was what created the cities of Nogales in the first place, and now it's what keeps them from growing and causes all sorts of havoc all the time. But in the Buckmaster should take note of particular things. Both these events are important. And so sometimes we get so caught up in the world picture that we forget what's happening in our backyard.
Yeah, and I saw another one I wanted to bring to your attention from Mexico News Daily about Mexico's oil company, Pemex. You would think that they'd just be booming right now with gas prices.
They are. Actually, they are booming.
Are they?
So I'm not sure what you saw. Yeah.
Well, I saw that
Pemex is notoriously a horribly run company.
Okay.
And it's always been a political stockyard for Mexican politics. People have made so much money off it and through it and by it, and the union has they're like the worst of, take the worst of a Teamsters union and apply it to, you know, Mexico, and that's what they've had to deal with. But it's become much more svelte, let's say, in recent years. So a lot less in the way of, you know, being held hostage or holding the government hostage. And, they have benefited immensely from the rise in oil prices. They're not doing the volume that they did before, but Pemex is still developing new oil fields in López Obrador. The president has made fossil fuels still a mainstay of his presidency. And so Mexico's raking in the wads right now. They're doing quite well. I don't know. I'm not sure what you read, but I can tell you
this is something they picked up from the Financial Times. They being the Mexico News Daily on the internet. The plan. This was about Pemex wanting to build an oil refinery in the president's home state, and the story says that crude oil production has continued to decline in Mexico, and that just surprised me a little bit.
I think that there was a deferred maintenance, like on your vehicle. I don't know what you're driving now, but when you don't do lots of maintenance and new exploration, then you can't take advantage of opportunities like there are today. So my understanding is that Mexico is way below what it was during its prime pumping years, we'll say, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago. Part of it is because they just didn't spend the money on exploration that people thought they ought to have. You know, there's these shifts of, to new energies and all. But they are, they have huge windfalls right now because of the price per barrel. And they're keeping their own prices very low at the pumps. I filled up a couple of days ago in Nogales, and I believe I paid 16 pesos per liter. So multiply that by 3.8, and you'll have, what would that be? 16 times 4, about 64. So roughly $3 a gallon.
Or $3, wow.
So, yeah, so they're keeping the domestic price low, and they're using that money to offset other things of Mexico's inflationary cycles to keep prices lower. And that's the president's strategy. The president, if you listen to him every day, it's about the poor, the indigenous. He still fancies himself, Bill, as a messianic, you know, he's a savior to a lot of the poor of Mexico. He's going to watch after them. And for all the criticisms that we will have of López Obrador, and there are many, we need to bear in mind that the peso has not only not declined, the peso has gained against the dollar.
Wow.
In the 3.5 years that this leftist, you know, weirdo in many ways has been in power. So let's not forget, while we're talking about strange populist policies where everybody's got a scholarship and everybody's got income from the federal government and how he's, you know, doing all these horrible things, which, and the kind of, what do they call it? The pause, with the kind of de facto peace with the narcotics, the mafias of Mexico. At the same time, he's kept the peso as the stable currency in the world.
Okay.
While he's been in office. So.
All right. On that note, thank you very much, Keith. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Keith Rosenblum with us with the Mexico Border Report. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John, engineering and producing, our program back with you in about 23 hours with the Buckmaster Show. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.